technology is the main reason for distracted driving, can it also be the solution? Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Bowman, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Brain, and this is the Supply Chain Brain Podcast. Around 3,000 people die in auto accidents each year as a result of distracted driving, and the consequences can be even deadlier when a commercial truck is involved. We text and talk on our phones, listen to music and podcasts, eat and drink, program mapping software, even have conversations with others in the vehicle that take our attention away from the road. So how good a job are we doing in putting a stop to this practice? Today, we're going to take a look at the consequences of distracted driving with a particular focus on commercial operators with Stefan Heck, CEO of Nato, a developer of AI-based software for driver and fleet safety. He believes that technology, which again is very much responsible for the problem in the first place, also holds the solution in the form of AI-driven systems that can detect fatigue and distraction by monitoring the slightest change in driver behavior. We'll also talk about the tough new laws that are on the way or already on the books to penalize distracted drivers. Here's my conversation with Stefan Heck. Stefan Heck, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Stefan, what actually constitutes distracted driving? How do you define it both in legal and practical terms?
I'll start with practical terms. In practical terms, distracted driving is any time you're not fully paying attention to the driving task. So that might be because your eyes are not on the road. You're looking at your phone or looking at, if you're a commercial driver, you might be looking at paperwork. If you're in a passenger vehicle, you might be talking to somebody in the passenger seat. Those are all forms of inattention, and that is distraction. Now, in a legal definition, it can be slightly different. It overlaps a lot, of course. But for example, legally, using a hands-free system to speak on your phone is actually permitted, even though we would argue in many of those cases, you're cognitively distracted. You might not have your hands occupied, but you're thinking about the conversation rather than thinking about driving. And on the flip side, some things that are illegal, like you're not allowed to touch your phone at all while in the car, even though you may be stopped at a red light waiting for the light to change. But we don't look at it from a risk point of view as very dangerous if you're glancing at your phone while you're not moving, even though you might be sitting in a vehicle at that moment. So there's heavy overlap. Obviously, everybody agrees looking away from the road at a phone or any other object while you're driving on a highway is serious danger.
Indeed, there are some rather disturbing statistics that find that even the hands-free phone is a distraction. Even if you're looking at the road and talking, that is also causing inattention from the task of driving.
Absolutely right, because it's that cognitive load, right? You're thinking about the conversation, who you're talking to, what they just said. And while your eyes may not be occupied, your brain is occupied.
Well, okay, so what are the consequences currently for those who are caught driving distracted? I know Tennessee has the Eddie Conrad Act. Perhaps you can explain to me what that is and talk about similar laws in other states and other parts of the world. Why don't we start out with Tennessee? What's that all about, and what is the penalty for distracted driving?
So for Tennessee, I think that was enacted based on a teen who was distracted, injuring one person and killing another, Eddie Conrad. And it is really to post much more severe penalties when distraction is part of the cause of the collision. Generally, distraction is underreported. It's underenforced as well. About two-thirds of the states around the U.S. make it illegal to hold your phone or text while you're driving. And so Tennessee is one of those. If you look internationally, rules are much, much tougher. In many countries around the world, your license actually gets suspended if you're caught driving while using your phone in your hand or texting. But as you already pointed out, many of these laws have an exception for hands-free systems that allow you basically to talk on speakerphone in the vehicle. And while that's less risky than holding your phone or texting, it's definitely still very risky. And I can give you some examples of that.
Sure, please.
If you're speaking on the phone, that's about four times riskier than normal driving. If you're holding your phone and looking down at it, and let's say you're texting or you're reading an email, that is 23 times riskier than normal driving. So you can see the difference. I mean, it's almost 6x difference in risk, but 4 times normal driving risk still isn't good. If you compare it to something like tailgating, if you're at 3 seconds tailgating, you're about double normal risk. If you tailgate really closely with 1 second following distance, so you're at the point where the vehicle ahead of you was a second ago, that is actually 8 times normal driving risk. So you can see tailgating and hands-free are roughly the same risk. If you start texting, then your risk explodes another 6 times.
Are we seeing a trend toward more such regulations and laws to stop distracted driving?
We definitely are. More and more states are passing this. Again, internationally, things have gotten much stricter. So if anybody's traveling overseas, definitely don't use your phone while driving because you can get arrested. However, I have to say, overall in the U.S., the laws are not really working to reduce the distraction rate. We still see increases in collisions due to distraction, increases particularly in pedestrian fatalities because more and more people are using their phone more of the time. Using your phone is pretty addictive.
And it's just so tempting. The phone rings and say, I'll just pick it up here. And you won't even realize what you're doing at the time.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because one of the things we found is people admit that they're distracted some of the time, but they completely underestimate how often and how long. If you interview the typical driver and say, hey, do you ever text and drive? Most people are honest enough to say, well, I have done that before. But then if you follow up and say, okay, so how often do you do it and how long do you do it? Their answer will usually be, well, you know, once a day maybe. And how long are you on it? Oh, a second or two. And if you look at the data, we work with commercial drivers who are on average better than consumer drivers who are just trying to drive their personal vehicle. But even in commercial drivers, we see 7 distractions per moving hour. So 7 times an hour, the driver's mainly looking at the phone or a tablet. Occasionally, they'll be looking at paperwork or food or something else that they're holding in their hand. And also, the durations are much longer. People are shocked. We see distractions of the 13, 14, 15 seconds. And the thing to realize is once you've looked away from the road for 6 seconds, you've gone an entire football field at highway speeds without looking at the road. And you can imagine going the whole football field without looking at where you're going is extremely dangerous.
So in the commercial vehicle side, is it a problem equally as it is on the passenger side in terms of commercial drivers being caught doing this or being detected doing this?
Yeah, very much so. Most fleets as employers have a rule that you're not allowed to use your phone while driving. But because the driver's out on the road, there's really not easy ways to ensure that actually happens. And so we've worked with fleets where they'll say, hey, we have a zero tolerance policy, and if we catch you texting, you're immediately terminated. The first thing we always say to those fleets is, you've got to actually change that rule. Because if you literally enforce that, you'll see that almost all of your drivers are doing it some of the time. And so you can't possibly just terminate everybody, of course, nor should you. Because the real answer isn't to get rid of people. The real answer is to educate people on how risky it is and warn them and give them feedback when they're doing it. Because the reality is most of the distraction from grabbing your phone, as you said earlier, it's so tempting that you're doing it unconsciously. You're not even aware how much and how long you're looking at your phone. And so if you bring that to people's awareness, they know it's dangerous. They can self-correct.
Okay, so part of the solution obviously is in adjusting human behavior. But what about technology? How can it help? Like, what kind of safety mechanisms out there are the fleet and automotive industries putting into place to combat the dangers of distracted driving?
This is where the technology can really help because, again, it's surfacing these risks that you're not even aware you're taking. You've got 2 kinds of solutions. There's aftermarket retrofit solutions for fleets that can be added to your pickup or truck or van. And they basically detect when you're distracted. They can either see the object you're distracted with. So if you grab a hamburger and are eating, or more often you're grabbing your phone or a tablet. But they can also see if you're just looking away from a hazard that's coming up. So it might be as simple as a red light. It might be a pedestrian crossing. And in those situations, if you alert the driver that they need to pay attention, you get phenomenal results. They get their eyes back on the road. They all know how to be good drivers. So they know to slow down, brake, swerve, whatever it might be in the situation. The exciting thing is that the auto manufacturers are actually building this into vehicles as well. It started a couple of years ago with very, very simple systems. In Europe, for example, there's been a requirement to have a system that detects drowsiness, which is a related problem, not exactly the same as distraction, but similar form of inattention. a little coffee cup show up on your dashboard.
Yeah.
Many of
yeah.
the systems in the U.S. we're tracking, are you engaging with the steering wheel? So you're making little corrective movements? Because normally when you drive, whether you realize it or not, you're always making small steering adjustments. And if you're distracted, you stop doing that because you're not responding to road input anymore.
Is that how it knows?
That's how it knows.
Because there's two things going on here.
Yeah.
One is, first of all, with regard to taking your eyes off the road, is it tracking your eyes somehow? How does it know that you're taking your eyes off the road?
The older systems, as I mentioned, are just looking at your steering inputs. The new systems now actually can track your eyes and see where you're looking and can also see if your eyes are closed, if you are holding an object. And so you can, through computer vision, you can see those things directly. And then the system can give you feedback and alert you. And those are really powerful, particularly in our experience, if you're doing that alerting when there's actually an external hazard. And that's one of the really important things to keep in mind here. You're alerting every time somebody looks at their map or their phone or their tablet. Mm-hmm. It can get very annoying. And,
yeah.
and none of us like backseat drivers.
Whether human or otherwise, yeah. How then does it detect sleepiness or drowsiness? In the new systems?
The most modern systems look at a series of behaviors. So there are early warning indicators. Your blink rate changes. You blink more slowly, blink longer. Often your head position changes. Drivers who are falling asleep, their head starts to tilt a little bit, either tilt forward or tilt to the side. There's other things that you might not expect are symptoms of drowsiness. Shaking your shoulders, scratching your face. People try to shake off the sleepiness. Mm-hmm. As you get more and more sleepy, the symptoms become more obvious. So people start yawning. People start closing their eyes for 2 or 3 seconds at a time. That's when you know it's pretty serious. So all of that can be detected through computer vision. And, you know, I want to make one thing clear. A lot of people are now in the commercial world using dash cameras. And obviously, if you're video recording the driver, the supervisor can see when they're drowsy or distracted as well. I'm not talking about these video recording systems, though. I'm talking about real-time safety systems that give the driver feedback directly and say, hey, you're drowsy, go take a break, pull over. Or if you're distracted, they'll either beep at you or even better is eyes back on the road, pay attention. There's a pedestrian in front of you or a red light coming up. And that's where you see really significant behavior changes and risk reduction.
How do commercial truck drivers feel about that? I can figure on one hand, they might appreciate it because they would like a system that does that, that indicates when they're starting to get drowsy or something. But on the other hand, the idea of something staring at you, tracking your every single movement in the cab, is there any pushback among drivers against this type of technology?
It's interesting. We encounter this all the time when first introducing these technologies to a fleet. And it really, in my experience, turns on two things. The first is, are you recording video or are you giving the driver a chance to self-correct? There's a huge difference there because no one's comfortable having themselves constantly recorded while you're driving around, right? We sing songs, we do silly things, you might pick your nose. You don't want to be on video. Mm-hmm. But if it's warning you and keeping you out of danger, people actually appreciate that. Again, coming back to the earlier point, as long as it's accurate, right? If you're getting false alerts, people get very, very annoyed by that. But assuming the system is accurately detecting risks, people are actually grateful. In our deployments, we see the drivers actually saying thank you, waving, nodding their head. Interesting, you see these positive reactions. Even though there's nobody in the car with them, right? It's just a safety device. It's giving them a warning. The second thing that it really turns on is, okay, this data of you were distracted for 6 seconds, for example, at 70 miles per hour, where's that data going? And if it's really just being used for coaching and safety, people are actually very comfortable with that. And a lot of people, when I give presentations about what we do, come up to me afterwards and say, I want one for my teenage son or daughter. A little bit more sensitive is when they come and say, I want one for my spouse. Then I'm like, well, you guys have to sort that out. Mm-hmm. That can obviously get tricky. I don't want to get in the middle of that. But you can see people want it. Where people resist it is, oh, is it being used for my performance review? Is it going to dock my pay? Is it going to be used for promotion? That's where it gets really sensitive. So we're very careful to say, look, this is a safety device to get you home safely. Its primary function is to help you avoid risks. And we want you to learn and do this all in a spirit of self-improvement and coaching. and it's not about performance evaluation.
And the idea is not exactly new. I mean, by now, many drivers are used to systems that monitor every time they touch the brake, every time they accelerate too much, every time they shift. I mean, those systems have been around for a while. And so this sounds like it's just another iteration of that to a certain extent.
I think as long as you're not recording, absolutely, right? Because it's very analogous. And it turns out that being distracted is much, much more dangerous than harsh acceleration or harsh braking. So you're getting a much better safety system if you mm-hmm. if you have one that warns you when there's a collision or when you're distracted or you've fallen asleep. And what we see is after people drive for a week or two, they actually love it. All it takes is one or two moments where the system's warning you and you go, oh, this is really dangerous. You actually feel grateful. So experiencing it live is the best way to become converted.
To what extent is all this made possible by artificial intelligence?
For the computer vision, it's absolutely central, because what the artificial intelligence is doing is it's able to actually accurately detect these risks in real time. So it can recognize there's a vehicle in front of you, or there's a stop sign, or there's a pedestrian, and it can recognize the behavior that it's seeing from the driver, whether it's eyes closed or looking at the phone. And really important, what the AI is doing is actually just detecting behaviors. Where people get uncomfortable with AI is if it's either identifying who that is. In our system, we don't do that. We're just saying, hey, wake up or stop being distracted, eyes back on the road. We don't care if it's you, me, John Henry, Sarah, mm-hmm. all just human behavior. And of course, the second area where people get uncomfortable with AI is if it's taking jobs away. But a lot of these safety systems are actually making sure you're safe in your job, not autonomous driving where you're trying to eliminate the driver. Here, it's just making the driver better, making them actually more productive and safer and get them home to their family. AI is central to how these systems work because, as I said, if you go back 10 years, all we had was video recording, and that really makes people uncomfortable. Being recorded is very creepy.
Well, it's good to hear that technology is at least part of the solution, especially in light of the idea that technology itself, like in the form of onboard entertainment, mapping, and information systems, to some degree is probably to blame for cases of distracted driving anyway, is it not?
And not just to some degree. If you look over the last 8 years, we've had a substantial increase, about 40% increase in pedestrian fatalities and injuries. And nearly all of that is due to distracted drivers. So distraction has been going up because of technology. The good mm-hmm. news here, as you just said, technology can also be part of the solution. And I'm hopeful that over the next 3-4 years, we'll see that vehicle infotainment systems will be integrated into these safety systems. So that, for example, mm-hmm. if you lean down to change your radio station, but you're doing it at a bad moment when there's a road hazard, the system will actually say, watch out and look at the road. And conversely, in vehicles that have some kind of interface that's prompting you, you know, map directions, for example, you want to give those map directions at a moment in time when the driver is not having to deal with some of their safety risks. So again, the car can actually be smart about when to interrupt you when you have spare mental capacity and you're not busy dealing with a hazard.
I've also heard that some auto manufacturers are getting away from the use of touch screens, which are very frustrating because it's easy to miss the button you're trying to push, and then you're pushing it again, and you're distracted even more when you're trying to use that particular type of technology.
We're huge believers in voice. Voice, if you go back 10 years, was pretty frustrating because mm-hmm. it wouldn't accurately read. You say an address, and it always comes back with some corrupted version. But the technology has gotten really good, powered really by the same AI that is in Siri or Alexa, but now being deployed to vehicles. And so that's a much better way. If you say, hey, I'm hungry or I want to find a gas station, to do that verbally with your eyes still fully on the road, a lot better than trying to hunt on the touchscreen. And particularly some of these older touchscreens, you had to go 3 levels deep in the menus. And so once you're doing that, you're talking about 7 or 8 seconds that you're spending on that touchscreen, not looking at the road.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about human behavior. We've talked about technology. Is additional legislation and regulation also needed in this area?
I believe yes. The legislation that's been out there of making sure you don't handhold your phone, I think that's a good first step, as we talked at the beginning of this podcast, because it prevents the worst form, right, where you're holding the phone in your hand, maybe even with both hands, and steering with your knee. We've seen that, and you're using both thumbs to text. That's kind of the worst nightmare. So making that illegal makes sense. I think we should go a step further, and this is part of what Tennessee's done, part of what California has also done, is teenagers are not allowed to touch their phone at all. They're not allowed to drive with other teens in the vehicle, for example, for the first year after they've gotten their license. Those are all great ways to reduce distraction, because while everybody can be distracted, you definitely see the problem is worse among teens, both because they use their phone more, but also they just have less driving experience. And so even the slightest inattention can have even serious effects. But you could go a lot further.
Could they be cited merely for having a phone on the dashboard in a holder clipped in? Just by that indicates that the very presence of a phone would indicate to a police officer that they're using a phone in the car.
I don't know the Tennessee law specifics, but in California, yes, you need to have your phone put away entirely. And you can be not only cited, but you can actually have your license suspended for a period of time. Where legislation should ultimately go, and I think the U.S. is lagging a little bit on this dimension, is to actually require these systems to be built into vehicles. And if you look at Europe as an example, there's a general safety regulation that is requiring all new vehicles sold after 2025, that model year forward, will have to have safety systems that can detect drowsiness, distraction, and also pedestrians in front of the vehicle. So every new van, truck, doesn't matter, a personal car, commercial vehicle, has to have these new safety systems in there. There's no equivalent requirement in the U.S. And that, to me, is the step change, because now it's not just an option anymore that you can purchase with your vehicle, or if you're a fleet, you can add it to the vehicle later. But it's actually going to become standard. And you see Europe is about twice as safe if you look at crash rates and fatality rates as the U.S. And I'm not going to say all of it is due to the safety systems, but certainly a significant part is due to the stringent safety requirements.
Well, it's clear that the solution to this problem exists on several levels. And Stefan Heck of NATO, I really appreciate you kind of covering all of them for me in a comprehensive way. Thank you very much for being with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Great to connect.
That was my conversation with Stefan Heck of NATO, talking about the problem of distracted driving. We're online at www.supplychainbrain.com, where we post a new episode of this podcast for streaming or downloading every Friday. You can also read our Think Tank blog, watch thousands of videos, and access all of our other content, including the digital edition of our magazine. Look for us on Facebook and LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter or X at @scbrain, and also watch videos on our YouTube channel. You can also download or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Got any comments or suggestions on this or any episode? Email me at rbowman@supplychainbrain.com. Stay well, and see you next time.